I feel less weird even if my boss still thinks I'm weird. At least the media doesn't think I'm as weird.
Absolutely, yes!
It's bagging everywhere.
Oh yeah. Go, get out of towners.
This is so much fun. I'm sitting here waiting for Val.
I have had some weird shit go down this morning, so I'm just letting it fly.
Here's one.
We met by chance thinking that we were completely different people, and basically she sat on my lap in a McDonald's in a Sailor Starfighter costume, and that was kind of awkward and yet awesome, and so we've been friends ever since.
That is like the best meeting story I have ever heard.
Most of the time it's just like, oh, I just happened to meet them while I'm, you know, standing in line or, you know, going to the bathroom, but no! Sitting down in your lap, that's perfect.
And if you add too much hardener, you may actually set the resin on fire. Which I will not do here for you, because this is not that kind of a learning experience.
If I can't add basic numbers in my head, I have more problems.
Valerie can't add basic numbers in her head.
Amber cannot draw to save her life. Yeah, I am really good at drawing stick figures, squares, and circles, and that's about it.
I move my body to the beat that is going on in my own head.
See, that's the problem that I always have, is planning and attachment, which is why I stay away from it, because for some reason, my brain has no problem processing a 2D outfit and then creating it in three-dimensional, but when it comes to props or any type of armor, it's just like, I'm out. Can't do it. And there is nothing wrong with that. That's why we are special snowflakes!
I know I'm a little out of order, but that's okay.
No, we're about right. Well, we're close. We'll be out of order. I don't care. And all sizes concluded, and they're historically accurate. Good grade!
That's why the pattern's so thick, because they give you multiple sizes on thick paper.
This is a ridiculous amount of patterns. I was only just one of the corset. I didn't care about the rest of the crap. But I got what I paid for. Jeez!
Even if it's soft armor, it doesn't matter. It still somehow, like, gets bumped just the right way to damage it.
And so we're going to fiberglass everything.
So I'm going to fiberglass it.
This is going to be a torture session.
Wait, hang on. That's better.
Maybe I can wake up October 31st. I think I can nap till then.
You probably could, but it wouldn't be as enjoyable.
It could be enjoyable, because then it's Halloween Day. Halloween Day is great for me, because then I get to decorate, I get to carve my pumpkin. It's all fun stuff.
Everything is heat-driven.
Amber and fire.
I'm just going to start roasting things on my motorcycle pipes.
There you go.
They get hot enough to boil water. Why not? It's coming together already.
Crap. Amber! No. I avoided musicals for a reason.
It's okay, I'm a musician, I can make it work. Drum roll! Is there a little third party?
Wait, there should be. Hang on, let me get to the Google.
Where's the effects?
I know there is
do
one.
Do the drum roll.
I know that there is one. Keep talking.
This is for our contest that was sponsored by Epic Cosplay.
There we go.
Our winner is Clinton!
Yay!
Applause. Where's your effect of... Thank you.
Thank you, Google.
Hey, Potters. Welcome to the end of all things. You get a cookie if you get the reference.
It is doomsday today.
And just know that I just saw The Hobbit.
Wait. I don't think they get a cookie anymore. You kind of gave it away.
I didn't give away where it was from, because it's not actually from The Hobbit. So, no, I didn't actually give it away.
Okay,
no, we are not ending the podcast. We are just ending the year, as this is episode 52. We are turning 2 years old.
2 year anniversary.
Which is the, that makes us the terrible twos.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the weird-ass montage I made.
I'm the terrible part of the twos.
The one am anyway, I?
You're the nice part of the twos.
I'm nice? I'm specials! Yay!
You're nicer than the terrible punning. At any rate, we have a very cool show for you today to end the year. We wanted to give you a spectacular surprise, and we have delivered. In fact, we just finished taping our interview with Svetlana, also known as Kamui, and we hope you guys will enjoy that. But first, as usual, we start with our usual intro, what we've been working on, any sort of news or announcements, that sort of thing, just to get you guys caught up on what's going on in the cosplay world.
Mostly in our world.
Well, yes, that is part of what the podcast was. We did have Hobbit Days yesterday, and thank you to those who did show up. We had a wonderful time seeing Desolation of Smaug. Make sure I pronounce that correctly.
Yes, because you will get people flogging you if you don't.
I know. Yeah, we ended up having a really great time, despite the fact it was kind of chilly outside.
Stupid Texas weather.
Yeah, the weather was not kind. I think it was warmer in the theater than it was outside, which is a little surprising. Because theaters are always cold.
Yeah, theaters are always freezing.
Yep. And thankfully, the theater was not packed, which is a good thing.
Oh, good.
So we did enjoy that. Of course, I always enjoy the Hobbit-style movies. Just because I'm a Tolkien fan. I am a massive Tolkien fan. If it hasn't been obvious by my cosplay and my love for my Arwen costume.
Really? Didn't know that.
I am not yet so into The Hobbit that I have a character I want to cosplay it.
Hmm. Not that there's a whole lot of females involved anyway. It tends to be very male-centric.
There aren't, and that kind of bums me out, because I don't want to do Tauriel, because there's already a bunch of Tauriel cosplayers, and I don't really connect with her. I don't really connect with Arwen either, now that I think about it. I connect with Galadriel most, but that... Thranduil's got to have a wife.
Yeah,
right?
That's the problem that I was having with the Avengers, because like, I don't want to do Black Widow. There's a ton of Black Widows. I mean, you got Lady Sif, but there's more people starting to do that now, so I was like, screw it, I'll just go through the comic books. I'll pick something that no one else really has done. Enchantress, cool, let's do it.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot more Lady Sif now that the movie has actually come out.
Yep.
It's like, okay, this is going to be a one-off costume, I'm pretty sure.
You be popular, though, because everybody likes it.
Yeah, plus I don't have to wear a wig, which is always a nice thing. My hair is actually starting to grow out again.
Good.
Getting there.
I get a partner in crime, too, so that makes me happy.
Yes, I am a conspirator.
Aww.
That's on my DeviantArt, actually. Except that you're my conspirator on my DeviantArt page.
Head desk.
But also, we actually got fan mail, and I wanted to give a shout out to listener John Michael. Thank you for writing in. We always enjoy it when you guys write to us. And usually you'll get a response from both of us. This time, Val just didn't happen to see it, so you didn't get a response from her.
I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
She didn't know. It wasn't her fault.
I didn't know. It's been a horribly, horribly bad busy week, and I was lucky just to check my own personal email, so...
Right, which I have a weird forwarding system set up for our email so that we see it, you know, without having to log into our web server. But John Michael actually has a website we wanted to give a shout out to, and the address is www.planet-cosplay.com. And they just started out, so of course they don't quite have as full of a website as, say, Cospod does, but they're certainly on the right track. We would urge you, if you live in the Denver metro area, go ahead and give them a checkout. Give them your support. It looks like they're going to also be starting a cosplay podcast very shortly, and they also do video coverage of events in the Denver metro area. So, shout out to you guys. Best of luck. If you have any questions about how to get your podcast going, let us know. We are always happy to give advice. Prodigious advice, depending on what we're asked. Thank you to John Michael for writing into the show. Of course, if you guys want to write into us, our address is podcast@cospod.org. Now, granted, next weekend, I am migrating all of our stuff to a new host. We are switching web hosts again, which, you know, I'm not a fan of, but we try and keep our costs down as much as possible. which means every year we have to switch web hosts. That is, until I build up enough of a, you know, sufficient buffer of money with which to stay with our current web host,
right.
Since, you know, they have the low prices to draw you in for the first year or so, and then they bump prices up to normal after that, which is usually about 2 or 3 times as expensive as what you paid the first time. So if for some reason you get mail failure, you get episode download failure, you get a 404 on any part of the website, don't be alarmed. It probably means Amber's working on it.
You could always Facebook us or YouTube us or DA us. We've got so many other outlets.
Right.
You can contact us.
You can still get a hold of us any other way, but if you see something broken on the website here next weekend, don't panic. It's not because we pod faded. We didn't go away. We didn't do any of that. I'm just migrating things over to the new server. That's what they call it. That's what they call it when you just kind of go radio silent and you just never put out another podcast, but your feed is still active.
See,
so you're considered to have disappeared by pod fading.
I get radio silence, but pod faded, that just sounds odd.
That's what they call it.
Like there's
the
this
kitties.
Thing in the
they
ocean
kitties.
That kind of sank and it faded away. The pod is gone. Like, what the heck?
I feel so old now. I'm not even 30. I still feel old. The hip kitties. Yeah. I'm not hip anymore, nor am I a kitty.
No.
Kid at heart.
There you go. Why we cosplay.
Yes, that's why I play dress up.
Heck yeah.
But anyways,
forever.
Since we are here to celebrate the year in cosplay that is 2013, and oh, did we have a massive amount of stuff that happened in cosplay in 2013, not the least of which was, of course, Heroes of Cosplay. We've had many controversies. We've had all sorts of discussions about body image and bullying and competition drama and all sorts of things that have gone on, both here with us at CosPod and in the community at large. So our favorite moments of 2013, there's been a lot of them.
good
and bad.
Yes.
I think probably the biggest cosplay moment in terms of social media was probably Heroes of Cosplay. For good or
ill.
For good or ill, it definitely turned the cosplay world on its back, turtle style, flailing into the social media ether. But at least in good news, it got the conversation going in terms of cosplay, and it opened up topics that people may have just been a little leery of talking about, things like body image and bullying, which I found good. It was at least helpful in that respect, even if people didn't necessarily like the people on the show.
And knowing that there's going to be a season 2 and don't know if they're going to be shooting new episodes or they're just using leftover footage from the last season, whatever the case may be, it's still going to be in the circle of the world. I mean, we're still going to be talking about it, and who knows what's going to happen to it next. I still maintain that if it at least convinced one person to try cosplaying, it did something good. I'm still maintaining that.
Mm-hmm. Your turn. Okay.
My turn. One of my favorite moments is at the convention that I'm probably never going to go to ever again, which is Anime Fest. I enjoyed making the cosplay montage video that I did this year, just being able to walk around and talk to cosplayers, and it didn't matter what their skill level was. I talked to first-time cosplayers, and just getting out there and interviewing people kind of reminded me why I love to cosplay so much. And it gave me nice, happy feelings. And it wasn't about competition or body image or elitism or people dissing on each other. It was just people wanting to dress up and have fun with their friends. So happy, happy, heartwarming times.
Speaking of competition, I think probably my favorite moment, just because it was so ridiculous, was having to do the whole group using the restroom thing at the Akon competition this year.
I finally heard the story about this. Oh, my good. Dude.
It was ridiculous and hilarious, but at the same time, it's one of those really memorable events that you will just never forget for the rest of your life because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just took it in such good stride that you really just kind of have to look back upon it and laugh and go, you know, it could have been a lot worse. It really could have. But I think because of that, it is one of my favorite moments of the year. Just to have everybody in the same boat with the same problem. And just, you know, working together to work it out.
Working together to
work
get to
it out.
That's part of what being the fun of competitions is. Sometimes so many weird antics go on backstage that you never know about. The cosplayers surely know about it.
It's a little different when you have rehearsal, like where other people are watching, like at A-Fest where they have it in an auditorium where people can just walk in and out, as opposed to A-Con where everything is actually done in a separate room.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up, things go a little differently.
Very differently.
That way.
But it's more fun that way.
I'm sure you have other moments.
Let's see. This one is not so much, well, I was kind of sort of in costume, but not really. But it also kind of reminded me that even the guests that come, like the super mega media star guests, I think they're mega media stars, but I like Star Trek, so what do I know? When they come in, even when they compliment other people's costumes, and being able to meet some of the cast members of the Next Generation while I was wearing my Arya coat, and they commented on it, and it just made me so happy, and I hope and I pray that I was not blushing like a crazy, crazy person meeting Brent Spiner when he commented on my jacket, because he loved it, and I was like, man, that's so cool. I know it has nothing to do with Star Trek. We're totally not even in the same realm. I'm a video game. You're from television. But holy crap. Just getting celebrities into the mix, too, that's always a lot of fun. And we saw a lot of that this year, too, with Comic-Con. Because we mentioned this before in a previous episode, where we had Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad actually dress up as his character for his panel.
Which was hilariously funny.
Yes, it was great. He had a Walter mask
on and
pulled it off.
Matt Smith went around dressed as Bart Simpson.
Yes, that was fantastic.
So, you know, cosplay really is for everyone, including the celebrities.
Absolutely. And I know the Mythbusters do it every year at Comic-Con. It's their way of getting around the floor. And one year I remember that they did it as Monty Python's The Holy Grail. Like the knights who say me.
I have a healthy respect when they do the pop culture references.
Absolutely.
I think probably my second favorite this year was when we went to TRF. We had a couple people who hadn't been in a while. And, you know, when we did Slayers, that was the first time I've ever done a group cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
But this was probably the second time I've ever done group cosplay, except this was planned a little farther in advance than Slayers, especially since I already had mine done. It wasn't something I made for it.
Right.
But we did a Lord of the Rings group cosplay, and it was really cool to be able to walk around the park as a recognizable group. As individuals, it's a little harder to be recognized as your character unless people know the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier when you're in a group. And I guess that would go not just for Lord of the Rings, but for pretty much any series except maybe Sailor Moon.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was like, oh, this feels so cool to be part of a group. You know, I'm not just having to worry about being recognized as me. I can just, you know, enjoy myself as part of a group.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, you know, spinning fire at TRF is always fun.
Anything with flames is a good thing for Amber.
I did not say that. I haven't spun fire at TRF in 2 years, and so it was kind of nice to return to the art.
Let's see. Another thing that I really liked about this year is that I tried to branch out and get to different conventions. So I went to PAX East, we went to ANT, and I'm finding that I'm going to put myself to a new rule now that every year I want to attend a brand new convention. So next year for me it'll be Dragon Con, because that's really flippin' expensive, so I really can't afford to do more than that. But it's kind of nice to be able to go out there, experience new things, see new things, do new things. And PAX East, I had so much flippin' fun there that the 2 days that I could afford was just not enough, so I have to do all three next year. And I am beyond ecstatic for Dragon Con. I cannot wait for it. And I think it'll be good for the podcast. I'm going to have so much random stories going on, most of them probably while I'm inebriated, because it is drinking con. Kids, don't do it. But, I mean, you got to admit, ANT was a lot of fun for us. You didn't get a chance to go to Anime Fest. And for me, it was like a nice tie-off to the end of the year. Instead of A-Fest being my last con, ANT is my last con, and it hit all the right notes. It was just perfect for it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the con has the right idea.
Yes.
In terms of just being a relaxed, not a frenetic con, just let people enjoy themselves, you know, provide the location and they will come. You know, cosplayers will do what they need to do. So I really give them props for that. And it looks like they're coming back next year as well. So
well, cool.
We will be back there next year.
Oh, absolutely. It was fun.
And as far as new convention for me this year, I'm hoping San Japan.
Hopefully we can get press credentials for that.
Yes, yeah, speaking of which, plug.
Plug time!
Quick plug. If you have not subscribed to our new feed URL, please don't use the old one, the one that's just feed.xml. There's a new one that starts with feeds.podtrack, I believe. Use the new one that's currently on our website. Don't use the old feed. They point to the exact same place. The difference is that the new feed has a tracker on it that will tell me if you subscribe to the show. It doesn't track anything else. It doesn't track your habits. It doesn't give you cookies. It doesn't give you any sort of weird cyber disease. It just tells me how many people subscribe to the show and download it. We have to have proof that 1,000 of you listen to us on a regular basis to get press credentials at San Japan.
And we know you do.
We know enough people listen to get us in. We have to have proof though, which is why we're pushing people to use the new subscriber feed. Even if you just watch us on YouTube, even if you don't actually download the show, that's okay. You can subscribe and just not have to download it. But do subscribe so we can count you so we can get press credentials. And then we can bring you even better coverage of San Japan.
Absolutely.
Yes, press credentials at most conventions like this seriously do help us bring you better coverage. It gets us access to places and people that we would not necessarily normally be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And front row seats, which helps with the filming.
Immensely.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Help us help you.
You. Moral of the story. But yeah, for us, it's been a pretty busy, busy year, especially with our new equipment and lugging all that around. That's always a joy. Lots of fun at Akon, too. Whee! Actually, I am in love with the Anatole Hotel. For as much as people were so worried about Akon, like, dive bombing this year, they did a pretty good job. I know there's some issues here and there, as there is always issues with con, but I was very pleasantly surprised at how well it ran, and they're already listening to us on feedback. They're moving lines around. They're making sure registration will be open much longer and earlier. I mean, what can you ask for?
See, it's going to be one of my favorite moments of next year, because next year is their 25th.
It'll be a blast, and we're going to be so busy.
And apparently they are pulling out all the stops from what I hear in the back in terms of getting guests mm-hmm. there that people have always been asking for and having more programming. In fact, their programming is now starting on Thursday, not just Friday,
for those
who are coming. And, of course, they have expanded hours. They have expanded staff.
Mm-hmm.
They are bringing in panelists to do new tracks and new panels. So I'm really looking forward to it next year, aside from the fact that I am also teaching panels there and doing press duties there. So
we'll be busier than usual, I think.
Next year is going to be a heck of a year. 2013 was a little rough on both of us, I think, because we're still doing school stuff.
Yes. And by then, I will be done.
That kind of tends to interfere with cosplay. But I think next year we're both going to be in the clear
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes. So we will have more time to bring you more stuff. And we are also hoping, crossing our fingers for next year, that we may be able to get invited to a convention as guests. Cool. That would be really cool. And of course, you know, we're willing to teach panels. We're willing to work for our money, as it were.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? You giving me a ride to go?
We'll provide press coverage, of course, as well with that. So if you love us and you want us to be at your local convention,
we'll take any size. It can be a 500-man con. We'll take it.
Hey, we went to ANT.
Yeah.
Actually, ANT was about a 500-man con.
Yeah. It actually turned out to be a lot bigger than I anticipated. So there you go.
That actually, speaking of favorite moments of 2013, mm-hmm. and being guests, it was actually really kind of cool at ACON to have random people approach us at the con and go, hey, I know you, you're from Cosplay.
Yes! Oh my goodness.
And I was like, wow, I'm
cool,
sort of internet famous. Like, I don't know any of these people who approach us. I've mm-hmm. never met them before in my life. But I find it really cool that they're willing to approach us in real life and say hi and talk to us, because we really are nice people in real life. We are just as quirky as we are on the show.
Yeah.
But we're nice people.
But we're nice people. Wait, we're not
and
nice
we like being
show?
Approached. I didn't say that.
No,
we love to talk cosplay with our fans. I mean, we're normal people in real life. Well, somewhat normal.
As normal as one.
Yes.
In this hobby.
So I thought that was really cool. It was like, oof.
Making squeeing noises.
That it's a squeak kind of moment.
Yeah, that happened to me with me too at PAX East, and I was just like, really? How do you know me? I don't know you.
I watch you on the internet.
Yeah, it's just so strange. I was like, okay, thanks. I don't know how to respond to it. I don't think I was that important enough for people to watch. So, eh.
Yeah, it's really cool. We are growing in leaps and bounds. And I have no problem with this.
Yeah, it's okay.
Alrighty. So with the end of 2013, of course, we wish to end with a bang. And so we bring you our epic interview with Svetlana, a.k.a. Kamui. Enjoy.
Hey, listeners, we've got a special holiday gift for you this year. We are here with the incredible Svetlana. You may know her as Kamui. And she is very popular for her both armor-making skills and for her depiction of World of Warcraft characters. And we wanted to bring to you an interview where we could talk with her a little bit about those things and as well as her ebooks that are coming out. So welcome to you, Svetlana.
Hey, guys. It's really nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. Can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Originally I'm from Germany. I'm still a student right now, and I'm already cosplaying since around 2003, so I basically cosplay for 10 years. And well, I'm not really a fan of my sewing machine, which I noticed pretty early, because I failed a lot at the start of my cosplay career, and later I really developed that I really like to craft stuff with my own hands. I like to experiment, I like to sculpt and to create three-dimensional things. So I specialized over the time for prop and armor making. I also try to add electronics and stuff. And since my cosplay career for myself was pretty hard, because I almost didn't spoke any English and nothing, and so I basically teach everything by myself. And after that, I wanted to give possible newcomers an easier start, and so I started to create tutorials, or I also post all of my progress on Facebook and my blog, and I just try to help people. And well, I think the cosplay community is something which grows only with the help of every member, and if we help ourselves and inspire us, we can become better only, as a big team.
I'm looking at your website now, and it looks like you've had two new costumes. You had a Protoss wizard, and it looks almost like a sort of steampunk Wonder Woman. Where do you get inspiration for these?
The Protoss Wizard was something. It was a very weird project which I started planning in October 2010, and there was this very little tiny BattleNet portray which is used from StarCraft players, and yeah, well, it was just the face of a wizard from Diablo 3 in the armor from a Protoss from StarCraft, and so it was something very fictional. It's not an official character or something like that. It was just a fun portray for the players there, and when I saw it, I think, oh my god, that's so amazing, I have to do it. And so basically I designed the whole costume down from the chin, and it was very challenging because it's something completely different than following an image and just try to bring the stuff into life and just try to look at like on the picture. But it was much more really, really designing everything by myself and also experimenting with different fabrics, different patterns, also armor designs. And I redid many parts of this costume again and again. And this was a crazy project. And I also did the very first time programmed LED stuff, which was also, challenging. And Wonder Woman was from the DC Online game, I guess. And I admit I don't play the game because I just don't have real time. But when I saw this image, which was shown me by Yaya Han when she visited me at home, I was like, oh my god, that's so amazing. And the thing is that I had I wanted to bring this costume to Comikaze this year, and I had only 3 weeks time. The thing was that I already made a costume in this 3 weeks because it was a commission for BlizzCon, and I had 3 weeks to finish this commission. And at the same time, I wanted to craft Wonder Woman. It was really crazy because basically I had only 1.5 weeks for the whole armor and stuff. And I just said, oh my god, sleeping is just for noobs, I will craft some stuff. And yeah, these 3 weeks were really horrible, really horrible. I was so tired. It was at the last days, it was not even any fun anymore to finish this project. But I was so happy when I was on my in my plane and just relaxed, closed the eyes, and knew that everything was done in time. Yeah. Sorry, this was a long story.
It's okay. I was just sitting there laughing because sleep is for noobs. I think a lot of cosplayers can associate that saying.
Sleep is for the
Yeah,
week.
Isn't it right? Come on. Yeah. We all know this. It's always the same. The closer the convention comes, the less fun you will have. But I think basically when I start with a project, I always don't start half a year before, despite of I always tell this to my audience in workshops, start early. But I start I start in on purpose too late, because I think if I have less time, then it's more exciting because then I have no idea how to finish in time. And so I just wait and wait until I have enough time, a little bit more than enough time for the costume, and then I wait a week longer and then I start, and then it will be interesting.
So you must be pretty used to working with Warbla and Wonderflex if you can make a costume that quick.
Yeah, basically. I started with this materials, I think, 3 years ago. And it's like, I already know exactly how long I need for a project, how I have to work, where I will maybe have problems, what I have to try and everything. So I know exactly how fast I'm able to work. And so I mostly don't really have any problems to create an armor. But if you would give me, for example, a jacket and say, hey, make this costume with a jacket and skirts, I totally would fail. Yeah, but it's just practice. It's always just practice.
When you make the armor, do you mold it to your own body, or do you have a cast form?
I basically just mold it mostly to my own body. It's when I do this, the stuff is, the material are pretty hard, and people also ask me, I also tried this at home, but it is so hard. How do you manage that? You know, when I molded my very first breastplate out of Wonderflex. It was a really huge one because it covered my whole torso, and I really tried it to mold on my skin, and when I put it away, my whole body was completely red.
It's very hot.
Stuff, yeah, but over the time, you just get used to it, and you just, you know, you don't feel anymore that much, and yeah, but yeah, you guys laughing, but yeah, it's just you can get used to it, but you can also just use gloves, or you can cover your skin with cold water, or you can mold it directly on your body and put this body part under cold water immediately. These are things which can make it easier, but then the project is not that exciting anymore, so you basically won't see me any time with gloves.
Cosplay is pain.
Yeah, I'm not really a good role model. I'm very sorry. I don't do the same stuff.
It's okay.
I would say use gloves, use water, blah, but you will never see me with this stuff.
I say do it the same, not as I do.
Yeah, right.
Do you have a favorite costume that you've made so far?
Yeah, the Protoss Wizard. The Protoss Wizard is something very special. It's something I put all my love and my heart and everything into it. It's my own personal baby, and especially because I designed it by myself. And because it's just, you know, a real copy from an artwork, but it's something I really designed completely by myself. So, yeah. I also spent €2,000 for it, so it's around $2,500. So yeah, I have to love it.
It's definitely
was that your dream?
Costume. Yeah, it's the type of costume that a lot of people really responded to, and I know it's one I've been watching you make over the years, and obviously Blizzard loves it too.
Yeah, it is. It's something very, very special for me, especially after the winning the first prize at BlizzCon. It's my baby, yeah.
So now when it comes to this book, who have you really aimed it for? Is it for those who already know how to do armor, or is it for those who are just getting into it for the first time?
Oh, basically everybody. I had, let me guess, I had two people who never ever did anything with cosplay before who read it and tried to understand it. So it's okay. I had cosplayers with a lot of experience. I had cosplay beginners who also read it. I had people who never even heard of cosplay before. And I had German readers. I had English readers. I guess I had around 10 readers in total who checked everything in every kind of it's understandable and stuff. So basically for everybody.
It's definitely worth having a look as I've glanced over the ebook, and anybody who has done armor making, even if you've been doing it for, you know, months or years, it's still worth having a look because you can always learn something new from other techniques. And Warla was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the thing is the book is basically very aimed for Warbler and Wonderflex, but there are also great books for crafting for, I don't know, with Aetherform and stuff, and people always say that Warbler is pretty expensive, but I think the material is really worth it, because even costumes which are already 10 years old or something like that still look like new, and so, yeah, why not? Try it out. It's a cool material, and I think my book is also a good help for that, especially if you maybe are too lazy to search for all these tutorials, because basically I didn't really wrote anything new, but if you like the format to get a cool collection, you should like it.
Do you have any advice for beginners who are just starting out in armor making?
Tutorials. It's really my only, but also the most important suggestion. The thing is, in the past, I had a lot of people who ask me, hey, can you tell me how to make a keyblade? And then all you have to do is enter keyblade in Google, you know? And or people did weird stuff because they just didn't Google for a material or for tutorial. And really, if you look into some tutorials, really do your homework, you are able to learn and to get better just by watching people work, and you learn from their mistakes, you learn from their success without wasting any time, any money, nothing. You Ethan don't need to experiment and stuff. And it's really the best form to get very fast a great armor. I also saw people who did a Demon Hunter from Diablo or Sylvanas from World of Warcraft as the very, very first costume. And it looked awesome just because, you know, they did their homework.
Okay, I have one last question. I always wanted to ask this.
Yes.
How do you attach your armor?
Oh, attaching armor. That's really... Attaching armor needs a lot of experiments. I basically work a lot with D-buckles or D-rings, yeah, which are directly connected to my armor. So I cover these D-rings with a piece of Wonderflex and put this piece of Wonderflex into the armor. In the past, for my Iron costume, for example, I spent half of a year on the armor itself and painting and everything, and then I had 3 hours for the fixing. Yeah. So I just took my hot glue gun and glued all the Velcro tape on the armor, and then I was some hours later I was at the convention because I finished my costume at 5 a.m. in the morning, you know, no sleep is for noobs and stuff, and I was then at the convention trying to put my armor on, and then the first part fell off because, you know, the hot glue don't work that good if you move your parts the whole time and stuff. And then I opened everything when I was back and redone the whole fixing and really connected the fixing directly with the armor. So basically now it's you can tear as much as you want, you can move in your stuff as much as you want. You have to destroy the armor to destroy the fixing. But it's just one of many methods. You also can use, I don't know, like the leather fixing with belts and buckles and stuff. It's really a lot of experimenting. And the fixing, no matter that you don't really see it on the armor, is one of the most important parts. Because if you don't spend enough time for your fixing may be not the right one. Oh, sorry, I always say fixing. I think attaching is the right word, but I always forgot it. Because of the German. Yeah, well, but it's the most important thing, and if you don't spend enough time, you won't maybe feel as comfortable in your costume, and then you spend so much time in a costume and you just want to get rid of it at the end because it's not comfortable. I also saw people who fixed pauldrons with, I don't know, metal stuff, I don't know, and they fixed it into their shoulder, and I saw that blood run down from their shoulder to their arm, and I have no idea why they did it, because, you know, if you try this stuff and really spend some time and walk maybe a little in your flat or whatever apartment and test the stuff, then you're also fine at the convention if it works. So, yeah. Sorry, a lot of explanation.
That's okay. That's the one hard part I have whenever I make armor, is how to attach it to my body. Do you have websites that you would like people to visit to see more of your work and your tutorials?
Yeah, well, I would just say Google Kamui Cosplay or Google Svetlana Quint, and then you find all my video tutorials, my Facebook, my blog, my Twitter, blah, everything. But you will find me if you search for me.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Svetlana. And
thank
we hope you,
you
have a wonderful holiday and a wonderful thank 2014 you. Cosplay season.
Thank you. You
thank
too.
You so much.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I know we certainly did, having a bit of a fangirl moment there.
Which is why Val didn't say really anything. She just sat there and went like, ah! Yeah, okay, that's about as cute as I'm going to get.
Yeah, Ember was having a technical moment of, ooh, yes, talk to me about all the details of armor making. Yes, tell me how you do it.
Whereas I have no knowledge, I'm just sitting there going like, I think your stuff is really cool and you're the reason why I wanted to cosplay, but I have no idea how you do all that. You keep doing all that.
Indeed. And of course, if you guys have anyone that you would like us to interview as well, you are welcome to let us know by either commenting here on our YouTube channel. You can leave us a comment on Facebook, on DeviantArt, on Twitter, send us an email. Any way that you can communicate with us, just let us know who you would like us to interview, and we will do our best to set up a time with them. We can't promise we can do it, simply because cosplayers tend to have, you know, schedules that may conflict with ours. But we will do our best. And so we will close out this episode. by saying goodbye to 2013 and hello to 2014.
Can't get here fast enough.
Yes, in next episode, we will be previewing our 2014 convention schedule. We'll be talking about what we would like to do for the new year. So if you would like to let us know what conventions you're planning on going to or what cosplays that you have in mind, go ahead and let us know and we can discuss it on the next show. We love hearing from you guys, especially with what you have planned for the upcoming year. We may see you at upcoming conventions and, you know, don't be afraid to say hi.
We don't bite much.
Also, right before we sign out, I want to ask you guys a favor, and I know this is going to seem like a really weird, non sequitur, tangential favor.
But we're special.
My coworkers at work have told me I sound like I'm from the Northeast, that apparently I elongate my A's or something like that. So I've purposely gone through this episode not thinking about it so that I wouldn't poison the well, as it were, and try and change my speech patterns. Tell me if I sound like a Northeasterner. I live in Texas. I sound nothing like a Texan.
Where were you born again?
I was born in Southern California, and I don't sound anything like a Southern Californian either.
No, you do not.
So tell me where the heck my accent apparently comes from, because it's not Texas or California. Tell me what I sound like, man.
Honestly, you sound
Tell me my coworkers aren't nuts.
You sound Midwestern. You sound almost like I do in just our speech patterns and how we say certain words.
Because I can't speak with a twang. You know, I try and it's just...
I did it once and I wanted to hurt myself afterward because I butcher it so badly. I was not meant to talk like that at all.
So yes, let me know how the heck I speak and how I'm supposed to speak.
You're supposed to speak like yourself, madam.
I do. Apparently I do. And with that, we will say goodbye here at the end of all things. We will see you guys in episode 53 in 2014. Bye, everybody.
Have a happy and safe holiday, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus. Happy solstice.
Happy Christmas, Kwana, Kwanzaa. I can't remember what that one is, but you know, Christmas, just holidays.
And of course, a happy new year if you don't hear from us before then.